Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to The Inner Life here on this Thursday of the fourth week of Advent. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. Glad to have you along for our hour of spiritual direction here on what a lot of people are saying is Christmas Eve Eve. I also heard on Morning Air this morning, Glenn Leverance was talking with one of their guests, and she said, no, it's actually Christmas Adam, because Adam comes before Eve. So you can use that. I know. I'm sorry. But if you want to use it, if you want to make, you know, if you're a dad that tells dad jokes, you can make your kids groan with that. But as we're looking ahead to Christmas coming up here in just 2 days, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Is there one of those movies that you watch every year? One that you've seen maybe dozens and dozens of times, but you're still fine. You could sit down and watch it one more time. For my money, and I mentioned this, I think, a few weeks ago, there's no better Christmas movie, in my opinion, than It's a Wonderful Life. And it's not simply just a great Christmas movie. It's a Wonderful Life is one of the best movies ever, and I've seen it many, many times through the years. But other ones that my wife and I have watched with our kids over and over at Christmas time, White Christmas with Bing Crosby, that's one of them. A Christmas Story, Ralphie, he wants the BB gun, and other ones that we've watched, a different take, many different takes on A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens. I think one of my favorites, at least, and it might sound a little odd, but I think A Muppet Christmas Carol did a really good job with that story. Kermit playing the role of Bob Cratchit, Michael Caine as Scrooge. Other ones we've enjoyed, like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Elf, Will Ferrell in that one, some of those different Rankin Bass stop motion movies like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, things like that. But most of those Christmas movies, they have one thing in common. They're trying to convey what Christmas spirit is all about, maybe the true meaning of Christmas or having a perfect Christmas. Some movies, they'll try and tell you that the ideal Christmas happens when you meet that special someone, when you fall in love, just in time to celebrate Christmas together. Other movies, they'll focus on Christmas being this time of magic and gift giving, along with giving us, you know, what we, it might be an imagined take on Santa, on what he's like, what his workshop is like. Other movies, they'll center around the main character learning a lesson that it's better to not be selfish, but rather it's generosity that brings happiness in life. Some movies might look back longingly at that idyllic Christmas from your childhood and how you might be able to recapture that perfect Christmas that you have in those memories. But what does make for the perfect Christmas? What is the true meaning of Christmas? Well, if you're listening here to Relevant Radio, I probably don't have to tell you. You already know. And there is at least one popular Christmas movie. It's actually a classic television special, one that got that message right. And it's Linus, where he gives the explanation in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Here, in fact, is Linus. Give a listen.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel
a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. All right, you've heard it there from Linus himself. And now that you've heard that gospel passage from St. Luke's gospel telling about the birth of Jesus, we want to discuss how we can approach the birth of Jesus as Catholics. What does it mean to celebrate Christmas as a follower of Jesus? And that's what we're going to talk about here this hour on The Inner Life. And joining us as our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, is back with us once again. Very regular voice. You hear his daily prayer reflections here on Relevant Radio throughout the day. He's a Jesuit priest and also the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Father Jim, welcome back to The Inner Life. I hope as Advent winds down, you're having a wonderful last couple days of Advent, looking ahead to Christmas.
Yes, Josh, good to be with you. And you're right. Advent is so often overlooked, and I've been really making a point this year of focusing on Advent and doing some different kind of spiritual reading. And with the idea that, how do we celebrate Christmas as Catholics? Well, it begins with preparing well during Advent, where we approach the holiday then, the great holy day, not so much from the secular viewpoint, but the way Charlie Brown heard it explained to him, is that the whole reason for the celebration of Christmas is it's the birthday of a Savior. And hopefully, for me, as I've experienced Advent, there's been a great sense of how much our world needs Jesus, how much the world needs the Savior. And so with that kind of sense of longing, I feel like my Advent has been leading me right up to the celebration of the Savior that was given to us in Jesus when he was born.
Well, that's a good thought there to start with, Father. You talk about celebrating Christmas as a Catholic means preparing well during Advent. What if I'm listening right now, and I know that, it's been Advent for the last 3.5+ weeks, and I really don't feel like I've prepared well during that time. Is it too late? Am I missing out? Is there something more that I can do here for the remainder of today and tomorrow before maybe if I'm going to the vigil mass on Christmas Eve or if I'm going on Christmas morning? Anything that you might recommend that I do if I feel like, I really just kind of dropped the ball with Advent this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, and I can't help thinking about the shepherds, again, in that wonderful story from Luke's gospel. They were not preparing other than the fact that they were Jewish, and so there was always among the Jewish people a great longing for the Messiah. But we have to imagine that they weren't thinking the Messiah was going to be born that particular night, and they weren't preparing for the Messiah to come at that point. And so the shepherds, if we haven't been really spending Advent preparing, if it's just gotten away from us, we can take consolation by looking at the shepherds. And even in the last moments, of that night, that first Christmas night, they were ready to receive the message of the angel. And so if we have not had maybe the greatest Advent, if it's been distracted, we've been too busy with other things, we haven't really prepared, we still have this day and Christmas Eve in which we might just pause for a moment and look at those shepherds who were not, let's say they were not the most reliable people to have the good news of the birth of the Messiah revealed to them. The shepherds at the time of Jesus were often considered as pretty shady characters, not to be trusted. And so, they did not prepare themselves to receive that message of Christmas, but when the angel appeared to them, they were ready. And so maybe we can look at the shepherds, take some consolation from the fact that they were an 11th hour or last minute Advent kind of group of people, and just to ask the Lord right now, Lord, my Advent hasn't been the best, but I want to make my Christmas the best ever. So please open my heart to receive you in a very special way this Christmas. And if we make that prayer and ask the Lord to give us that grace, then what we've desired all during Advent will come true for us.
Hmm. Well, and as you're talking about the shepherds, too, the other thing that comes to mind is they didn't say, okay, let's finish up with watching the sheep, doing our shift out here with, you know, whatever we already have as part of our ordinary day, our ordinary evening going on. They said, no, we can put this on hold. This is something important, and we can put regular life on hold for a moment here and go seek out the Christ child that the angels have just told us about. And I think that's a good lesson for us, too. It's okay to just say, all right, put life on hold for a moment. Take that moment to just stop, have some quiet, just seek out Christ right then and there, and don't worry about finishing what you have going on. I mean, you know, obviously within reason, but but that you can go ahead and just say it's okay. Those things will wait. You can come back to them, and right now is the time that you can prepare and seek out Christ.
Right, and it, you know, it's a question of priorities and the importance of being open to the grace that God wants to give us at Christmas. So even if we've had a bad Advent, or in our eyes a bad Advent, it may actually be a good Advent because it leads us to hunger for Jesus more as we come to these final days before Christmas. But no matter what, I think you're right. It's a matter of just finding a little bit of time, prioritizing the next 2 days, the rest of today, tomorrow, prioritizing it in such a way that we, even if it's 10 minutes, just to pause, find a quiet place, maybe late at night when no one else is around, look at the Christmas tree and think of the light that it symbolizes. And St. Ignatius Loyola, you know, the founder of the Jesuits, was always big on identifying the grace. And so just to pause for 10 minutes and to identify, what is it I desire? What is the grace that I would like this Christmas? How do I want the Lord to help me celebrate this Christmas in a Catholic way?
Now, when we talk about celebrating Christmas in a Catholic way, of anything that we might bring up, it seems that going to Mass would be at the very top of the list. Is there anything that you would put before that, you know, our Christmas Mass obligation?
No, I really wouldn't, because, you know, it is a holy day of obligation, but also it's the best way to celebrate the fact that the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took flesh in the womb of Mary and was born on this day that we'll be celebrating, was born on Christmas. And because he took flesh, he was able to give his flesh for the life of the world on the cross. And that's what the holy sacrifice of the Mass is all about. So while we remember in the readings the birth of Jesus, there's the very strong sense that because he took flesh in the womb of Mary, was born, gave his flesh for the life of the world on the cross, now he comes to us in the Mass and offers his flesh, makes an offering of himself to the Father, and offers his flesh to us, his body and blood. So hopefully if our listeners are not ready for Mass, this might be a good time to look at a schedule of when to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and really be ready to receive our Lord in Holy Communion on Christmas.
Yeah, you know, one of the other things is, as you're talking about going, and number one, I guess I have a couple of thoughts here. One is that I think there are multiple parishes, multiple even religious communities, depending on where you live, that have many open times for reconciliation, for going to the Sacrament of Confession. And even if you can't find something scheduled, just call up your parish priest or call up a priest at a religious community, and you should be able to find someone who can hear your confession. But the other thing that I think is unique and worth talking about here, too, in regards to the Mass, this is the one time of year where we have so many different scripture readings for Christmas Mass. And it depends on what time of day you go. For the gospel alone, we have four different readings. There's a reading from Matthew for the vigil Mass on Christmas Eve. And then for midnight Mass, there's from earlier in Luke's gospel. Then if you go Mass at dawn, there's a later portion of the second chapter of St. Luke's gospel. If you go during the day on Christmas, then it's St. John's Gospel, the first chapter. And this is only the Gospel readings. It doesn't include different parts that we have from the prophet Isaiah, from St. Paul's letter to Timothy, the letter to the Hebrews, all these different readings that we might encounter depending on what time we attend Mass. Why are there so many variations that we encounter just for this Mass celebration alone?
Well, I'm not sure of the exact history, but I do know this, that every priest is able to offer three Masses on Christmas and, as it were, take a stipend for each of those Masses. And so, depending on the time of day, as you mentioned, Josh, the readings and those particular prayers for the Mass have to be used at that particular time. So there is this tradition of a priest being able to offer three Masses. Let's say a priest who's in a religious community, in a monastery, who doesn't have a congregation that he's serving, and so, you know, would be celebrating three Masses perhaps on any given weekend. Still, that priest has the opportunity to offer those three Masses for three different intentions. And so rather than having the same readings and same prayers for the Masses, because of that opportunity and privilege of being able to offer three different Masses, we have those three different Mass formularies and readings. The Vigil Mass, of course, is celebrated in the afternoon or into the evening on the 24th, and that is not one of those three Masses. That is usually celebrated before sundown, before Vespers,
right.
And so it doesn't really, as it were, count for one of those three Masses. But I think the Church wants us to, I suppose, savor the mystery of the Word becoming flesh with three different types of readings, and also with the different prayers and the times that one could go to Mass. So certainly for the faithful, too, you know, if you go to Mass at night, or as we used to call it, midnight Mass, if you go at that hour, you can still go to the dawn Mass and to the daytime Mass as well. We, too, all the laity, have that privilege of attending and participating in three different Masses.
Good. Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. Okay, the priests can. What about the laity? So
mm-hmm.
Good. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is invited. We're talking with Father James Kubicki here on Relevant Radio and talking about how we celebrate Christmas as Catholics. And we'll continue talking about this, but also want to invite you into the conversation. How about you? What do you do to keep your focus on Christ at Christmas? What are some of the things that you'll do tomorrow on Christmas Eve and then on the following day on Christmas Day itself to celebrate Jesus being born, to celebrate God taking on human flesh, just like Father Kubicki was talking about. What are some of the traditions that your family does that separate your Christmas celebration maybe from just some of the common secular activities that are happening in our world, happening in your community? And you can call in and join the conversation at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. More to come here right after this on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Silent night, holy night.
Oh. Today we'd like to thank Therese, who's listening in Minnesota, for donating her Volkswagen. Join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car today.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is a pretty great time of year. Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond. Glad to have you along for this hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Father James Kubicki is with us as our spiritual director. Father is a Jesuit priest. You hear his prayer reflections daily on Relevant Radio. He's also the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. And today we're talking about what it means to celebrate Christmas as a Christian, as a Catholic, as a follower of Christ. And what are some of the things that you will do, whether it's you on your own, or maybe it's just you and your spouse, or maybe you have the entire family, but what are some of those things that you'll do tomorrow and Christmas Day that will help to keep that focus on Jesus being born into the world? What are some of the traditions that your family does, some of the different routines that you have in your family life at Christmas time that separate that Christmas celebration from just all the secular activities, but really do focus on our faith? You can call in at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, one of the things that I thought might be good to talk about too here is the fact that we haven't been saying or singing the Gloria at Mass throughout Advent, and the Gloria will be back once again for us here if we go to the Vigil Mass on Christmas Eve tomorrow or any of the other Mass times on Christmas Day. And so I thought it might be nice to take just a moment to talk about what we actually say with the Gloria. The main message is what the angels sang out on Christmas night, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to people of goodwill. Those are the words that we say at Mass. I guess to start with, what should our attitude be when we talk about giving glory to God? What does this really mean for us?
Well, we do echo the angels then, you know, with that. But first of all, the fact that we don't pray the Gloria during Advent and also during Lent, it's because it's a hymn of joy. And both Lent and Advent is kind of a little Lent, we wear the violet vestments, which are more penitential. So it's a sense of, again, in Lent, it's preparing for Easter. With Advent, it's preparing for Christmas. And the penitential aspect of that is recognizing, you know, I need a Savior. I need someone to save me from sin. And so as part of that penitential atmosphere, we do not sing the Gloria during Advent. And so when it comes back, you could say it comes back with a bang during the Christmas celebrations, because every day after Christmas, the Gloria for the 8 days after Christmas is part of every weekday Mass as well. And so it is that sense of joy that is embodied in that prayer. And as you said, you know, it's really a way of echoing what the angels said to the shepherds. And so we can join the angels in the great song of praise, giving glory to God, recognizing, you know, that it's a Trinitarian God, that we give glory to God, the Father and the Son, the Lamb of God, and then with the Holy Spirit, we give glory to God.
Well, and, you know, then there's that second phrase there, on earth, mm-hmm. peace to people of goodwill. First of all, peace, I think this is a word that has definitely, especially since the counterculture revolution, Summer of Love, all of that, you know, the protests against the Vietnam War back in the 60s, the hippie movement, all of that. That word has really changed into something different from what it means regarding our faith and God the Father sending his Son. Can you talk to us about how we really should be understanding what the peace is that God is offering us when we sing the Gloria, when we echo those words of the angels?
Sure, Josh. You know, I think of the Jewish word shalom, which is more than, hey, peace, guy, you know, peace. It's a a religious type of greeting. To wish shalom to people is more than to wish them peace of mind, or you know, that there not be simply an armed standoff as we have in the world, where it's mutually, you know, mutual deterrent, you know, with weapons. But shalom is, it has a sense of wholeness, and it really is related to justice. So if we lived in a just world, there would be peace. And the basis of justice, St. Thomas Aquinas would say that, you know, justice is giving to the other person their due. And being made in the image and likeness of God, it means we treat each other with reverence and respect. We recognize each human life as made in the image and likeness of God. But the basis for all justice is giving God what is God's due. In other words, that we give God the honor, glory, worship that God deserves, because God is the creator and loves us so much. So the peace that we wish upon our world and upon each individual really begins with that sense of, I wish that you would be at peace with God, and that you would give God the honor and glory that is God's due because of who God is. And so I think that's the deeper meaning of peace.
That's beautiful. Now, this peace, it says, is given to people of goodwill. And so maybe, as just kind of wrapping up our look at the Gloria, what does it mean for us to be a person of goodwill?
Well, again, I think, you know, it has that sense of goodness, that I am going to try to be good as God is good. I'm going to try to be holy as God is holy. And that sense of goodness then is to have a goodwill toward others. You mean to wish others well. So again, if we did not have, as Jesus, you know, he said, pray for your enemies. If we had goodwill toward others, if we wished well of for others, and wished that God's will be done as we pray in the Our Father, then that would indeed be the basis of for justice and for peace in our world.
Father James Kubicki is with us as our spiritual director, as today we're talking about how we celebrate Christmas as Catholics, as followers of Christ. What are some of the things that you do with your family, some of the traditions, some of the customs that you have in your household that help you keep that focus on Christ, that help keep Christmas Christ-centered? And you're welcome to call in and share those activities, those traditions that you have in your family. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. And Father, we've got Linda who's listening to us in Genoa City, Wisconsin. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling in. What do you do with your family?
Hi. What we like to do is have a birthday party for Jesus. Generally on Christmas Eve, the family gets together and we have dinner. And then after dinner, I usually order a Happy Birthday Jesus birthday cake, and we all sing Happy Birthday to Jesus.
Wow, Linda, that's beautiful. You know, in my family with my nieces and nephews, when I was able to celebrate and when their children were younger, my great nieces and nephews, they did the very same thing. We would gather on Christmas Day and have a birthday cake with the candles, and all the children would gather around and sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And I think that's just one of the best ways of reminding people what Christmas is all about, that it was the birthday of Jesus. Thank you, Linda.
Linda, so glad you called in. You know, the other thing that I remember hearing about, and I've heard people do this at different points with holidays, but I think it also goes back to, if I'm not mistaken, it kind of surrounds Epiphany, but they'll do something similar where they'll have a little infant Jesus baby figurine that's hidden in the cake. And if somebody gets that piece of cake with that little baby Jesus in there, then you get some special, you know, gift or prize at the end of the celebration when you're having cake and celebrating Jesus's birthday. That was another one that I remember hearing about years ago. Again, you can call in and share those traditions that you have in your family, things that you do that help you keep Christmas Christ-centered. And our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We've been talking a lot about the Mass, that being, of course, the biggest and best thing that we can do to celebrate Christmas as Catholics. Any other things that come to your mind initially, Father, of things that are really good practices that a family might try and incorporate into their Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, or even through the octave of Christmas, those 8 days that we celebrate Christmas in a big, big way, starting with Christmas Day? Any traditions that you might recommend people consider?
Well, one thing for sure is that, you know, so much of Christmas revolves around dinner, meal, and so definitely to make a special meal prayer, maybe a little bit longer than simply, you know, the bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, but maybe to go around the room and to ask people, you know, it's been a tough year. Before we share this food, just what are we grateful for? It's another aspect of Thanksgiving, I suppose. The word Eucharist, with which we refer to the Mass, that word Eucharist means Thanksgiving. And so it would be a way of extending the Eucharistic celebration, the Mass, into our family meal by just reminding ourselves. And, you know, it could be very simple, just one word, what am I grateful for? And to go around the room. And then to say the meal prayer, thanking God for the blessing of the food that we have. And then, Josh, as you mentioned, there are such great feast days that follow the celebration of Christmas. With Christmas coming on Saturday, it gets a little challenging because Sunday is the Feast of the Holy Family. And so we have the privilege, the opportunity, I like to think of it more as opportunity rather than obligation, to celebrate Mass on Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Family. And then throughout those 8 days leading up to New Year's Day, we have some wonderful feast days. The Feast of the Holy Innocents, that's on the Tuesday following Christmas celebration. And then Monday following the Feast of the Holy Family, we have St. John. And so to continue to go to Mass during that special octave when we get to pray the Gloria every day is another way of, I think, extending that Christmas celebration. And I hope that none of our listeners on the Monday after Christmas weekend, that they don't start taking the tree down, but leave the tree up at least through Epiphany. But the season of Christmas will extend into the baptism of our Lord, which this year will be January 9th. So if you can leave your tree up that long, it's another way of continuing to celebrate the Christmas gift that we have in Jesus.
Well, and also more than leaving up just the tree, I would also think leaving up that nativity set outside, out of your, you know, in front of your yard, mm-hmm. or if you've got it, you know, somewhere in your home. You know, that's another great thing that you can do that says we are still in the season of Christmas. You know, all around mm-hmm. us we have stores that will, as of December 26th, everything Christmas is gone, except for that discount aisle where you can go and get all the leftover. We want to purge this from our inventory kind of place in the stores. But everything has moved forward for New Year's, for even Valentine's then at that point. And being mm-hmm. able to say, no, it's still the Christmas season and we still turn on our lights, our Christmas lights outside every night. We still have our nativity set up, you know, those Christmas decorations. I mean, that to me also seems like a very appropriate thing to continue into that through, like you say, the 9th of January.
Definitely. And especially our listeners in warmer areas, you know, you've got it easier because up in the north where it's next week going to get very cold, some people might think, well, you just are too lazy to take the decorations down. But if you're in the south where the temperatures are more milder in California, leave them up as a sign that it's not a question of the weather or whether or not you're too lazy. It's your witnessing to that fact that Christmas is a season and not just a day.
our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, as we're talking about how we celebrate Christmas as Catholics, as followers of Christ. How do you do that in your family? And in fact, are you aware that Christmas is not just simply one day? It's a season that we celebrate in the church. What are some of those traditions that you and your family do to help you keep the focus on Christ, on your faith, that you don't just follow along with kind of the secular calendar of celebrating Christmas, but that you recognize Christmas for what it is, the birth of Jesus, the Savior that's come into the world. You can call in and join the program at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. And Father, let's go to John, who's listening to us in Cascade Locks, Oregon. Hi, John. Welcome to the Inner Life.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Father James Kubicki. I hope you can hear me okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead, John.
Excellent. Well, I just want to say we have our nativity set outside in our front lawn, and my wife does it every year. I'm a cradle Catholic. She converted, and she also converted her son, who's my stepson. We celebrate by listening to Father James Kubicki at night. It plays at 7:45 on KBVM. We're able to review our day, replay the videotape, and if we've harmed anybody, if we've been able to apologize. And the idea of our Advent calendar, we open up each day and praise God. So I've formed a Bible study in Cascade Locks with a bunch of men there. And when they found out that I'm a Catholic, what's a Catholic doing in a Bible study? I said, I started it. So it's all blessings. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, John. And, yeah, John's referring to the evening review of the day, kind of an examine evening review that plays on some different radio stations, leading people through a review of the day. And thanks for listening to that each evening, John. And, you know, the way you talk about, too, extending the feast, I have some friends who have Epiphany gifts. So in the family, every person in the family gets a book on Epiphany Sunday as a way of celebrating. And so the gift giving didn't end with Christmas, but it continues through the Epiphany. So those are all good ways of extending the feast. Keep those figures up and remember the Epiphany and the baptism of our Lord.
Yeah, John, thanks so much for your call. And I love that he's using that evening review that you put together. That was something that actually, Father, you and I kind of originally discussed, gosh, must be 14, 15 years ago, something like that. And we had been discussing, well, for a Relevant Radio pledge drive, is there some wonderful way that we can help our listeners here? And you had suggested that evening review, that daily examine, and it became one of the most popular pledge drive premiums that we had ever given away. So I know there are so many people who still use that regularly in their lives, but I'm glad that John shared that on the air here with us. And we need to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. Lots of people calling in to share their traditions, so we're going to take more of your phone calls, and you can join us at 888-914-9149 as we talk about celebrating Christmas as a Catholic. How do you do that in your family? What are some of those things that help you keep Christ as the focus of Christmas? 888-914-9149. Back with more right after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Dei.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond. Thanks for joining us here during this hour, as today we're talking about how do we keep Christ as the focus of Christmas? How do we celebrate Christmas as Catholics? How do you do that in your family? Maybe it's just you alone. How do you keep that focus in your life? You can call in with those traditions that you've developed over the years. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Also, coming up tomorrow, The Inner Life will not be heard because we're going to have some special programming that's going to air on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day here. We'll have lots of Christmas music that you can tune into and listen on both days. We're also going to have the live broadcast of the Christmas Vigil Mass from the Vatican with Pope Francis. You can hear that at 12:30 Central tomorrow afternoon. Father Rocky, he'll still be praying the Family Rosary across America at 7 o'clock Central in the evenings on both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And there'll be special Christmas episodes of Daybreak to start your day if you're an early riser, and that's at 4 a.m. Central. And then Christmas Day, very glad to have Mass that will be available and broadcast three different times, celebrated by Archbishop Jerome Lestecky out of Milwaukee. And you can hear that at 5 a.m., at noon Central, or at 7:30 in the evening Central, right after the Family Rosary across America. And so I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Christmas and are able to join us for some of those events that will happen here on Relevant Radio. Again, talking with Father James Kubicki, a Jesuit priest, regular voice that you hear with his daily reflections here on Relevant Radio. He's the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. And again, talking about how we celebrate Christmas is Catholics. How do you do that in your family? 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Colette, who is calling in from Goodyear, Arizona. Hi, Colette. You're on the air with Father Jim Kubicki.
Hi. Hello, Father. Hello. Yes, I wanted to share that when I was growing up, my mom made all of our holidays, birthdays, Christmas, Halloween, whatever, really special. And Christmas was, you know, also very special. At the end of the Christmas meal, at Christmas dinner, she always made a big cake and had candles on it, and we sang happy birthday to baby Jesus. And I really remember that, and I always was touched by it as an adult, you know, looking back on that. And so I'm going to do that with my two granddaughters.
Mm-hmm. That's, a great idea to remind the children and ourselves that this is a very special birthday that we're celebrating, and that the reason we're gathering is to celebrate this birth of a baby, the baby Jesus, who came to save the world. So I'm glad that you remembered it and that you're going to pass that tradition on to your grandkids, Colette. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you calling in and sharing here on the program. And Rosemary is listening and joining us from Carlsbad, California. Hi, Rosemary. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, in Germany, the Christ child and the angels bring the presents, not Santa Claus. And so we had always a tradition that my mom, the first time we would see the Christmas tree would be Christmas Eve. So I will always remember my father would say, okay, the angels are really busy putting up the tree and everything. And when they're finished, they're going to ring the bell. It's going to ring the bell, and then we can go in. So we wait in front of the door, and we would see lights maybe through the glass a little bit, but that's it. And all at once, he'd say, oh, just a minute, I forgot something in the kitchen. And he'd leave and go, and then all at once, we heard the bell ringing, and that was the angel, you know, telling us, now it's all finished, you can come in. And so then we said, Dad, you missed it again. The angel rang the bell. Come on, stand here. We have to go in together. And so then, I'm so sorry. And then we all would walk in, and there would be the lights on the Christmas tree. And then we would sing carols. He would play the guitar, and we all said Christmas poems. And for half an hour, and it was the most beautiful thing and the best present I think my parents ever gave me. I never forgot it.
Yeah.
So we would do that every time.
Well, Rosemary, that's what's so beautiful about that, too, is rather than, you know, all the Christmas trees that go up in some cases, even in early November or Halloween, to have that special. So that I'm sure you left the Christmas tree up then for a couple weeks or so after Christmas Day. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, until New Year's, and then New Year's it would usually was burned.
Okay. Yeah.
The fashion was burned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
those are beautiful traditions, and it's the kind of traditions that children remember. Obviously, you remembered it, and it continues to warm your heart. So thank you for sharing that tradition with us, Rosemary.
Father, are there any traditions that you have from your childhood that you look back on and think, that was really something that my parents, you know, they really made that concerted effort to help keep us focused on Christ? I know, you know, different generations, as we've gotten older, I think there's, you know, just commercialism has come more and more and more into our society. And I mean, that by itself can change, you know, what I experienced as a child, what you might have experienced as a child. But, you know, putting that aside, anything that you look at and say, oh, this was just a really great tradition that we had in our house?
Yeah, I remember, you know, we put our Christmas tree up early. My dad would put the lights on early, as in, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas. My dad would put the lights on, and my mom and I would hang the ornaments and tinsel. But then my dad had made a stable out of different pieces of wood. And so there was this great stable with nativity figures. And I always remember that we didn't put the three kings or the three magi up. They would be off to the side somewhere journeying to Christmas, the Christmas stable. But I also remember there were animals. So we had sheep and oxen and a donkey. And I remember my mother saying, now we're going to put these really close to the baby Jesus because it's cold. It's winter, and they will breathe on him with their warm breath and keep him warm. And so I remember, you know, using that nativity scene as a way of, well, like St. Ignatius invites people to imagine the scene, to become part of it. In our little way of playing, as it were, with those figures, we entered into that scene and turned what might seem just putting up the figures into a kind of prayer.
I love that. That's so beautiful. You know, the other thing that comes to mind, this is that time of year where we are giving gifts. Many of us are making extra donations to help charitable causes or people less fortunate than ourselves. And that really goes back to that idea that God has given us the greatest gift possible, sending his son and providing a way for us to have entry into heaven. So this theme of generosity that we see and that we live out at Christmas, I think it's important for us not to lose sight of that reason for being generous. You know, we don't want generosity for generosity's sake. We pass it on because we have, you know, as Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out to evangelize, freely you have received, so freely give.
Right. And, you know, that's a good point, again, reminding us that the greatest gift God could give us is the gift of his son, Jesus. And so, like any gift, if we receive a gift at Christmas, we're eager to open it up to see what's there. So to open up the Christ child, to reflect on the mystery of his birth, not just to, you know, as it were, okay, yeah, Christmas is about Jesus, but just as we open up our gifts, we want to open up the gift of Jesus that the Father has given us by praying a little more about that mystery of Christmas and how much God loves us by becoming one of us. So open up the gift of Jesus by praying about the great mystery of Christmas.
Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director, and Father, as we're down to about our last 30 seconds, can I ask you to offer all of our listeners a blessing, not only for today, but for all of Christmas as we look ahead to these coming days as we conclude today's hour?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask that he may find hearts open to receive him this Christmas, and that we may grow in a deeper awareness of the love you have shown us in him. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you all and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Father, thanks so much and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
All right. And as always, if you missed any portion of the earlier part of the broadcast, you can go and find that at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Again, I will not be on the air tomorrow. We'll have special Christmas programming. So since I won't have the opportunity to talk with you then, I want to wish you and your family a very blessed and Merry Christmas. I hope it's a wonderful time for you celebrating the birth of Christ. And we'll talk with you again on the next Inner Life.